We're continuing our series, A New Year of Wisdom. How many of you all are hoping to be a little more wise in 2016 than you were in 2015? I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we're studying Proverbs to help you with that. The bad news is I'm looking at you and it's not going to do you any good, okay? No, we have a source for wisdom. There is a place that we can find wisdom. Last week we looked at the beginning of wisdom. Where do we even start? If we want to be wise, what is the beginning? And we talked about the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 1:7. What does it mean to fear the Lord? How do we approach God and how do we recognize who He is? We learned that learning more about who God is leads us to more wisdom. And this morning, we're going to look at two paths that the book of Proverbs takes us on. There are two directions that we have. Our girls have just started getting into Star Wars. Now, they don't really have an excuse to be almost 6 and 9 years old to not have seen the movies yet, because especially on my wife's side of the family, Clint and Uncle Sean and everyone on that side of the family lives and breathes Star Wars. But our girls haven't necessarily had an interest until all of a sudden, when this new Star Wars movie comes out, Ashton, my almost 6-year-old, wants to see Star Wars. So we started. A couple nights ago, we watched episode 1. Don't argue with me on what order we should show them in. We started with episode 1, and she paid somewhat attention to it. And then last night, we watched episode 2. And they say they liked the first one better, but they were really into, both of them, really into following the storyline here in Star Wars. And of course, the main storyline, there's so much. We've talked about trying to explain everything that's going on. It's impossible to explain that to a 6-year-old and even to a 9-year-old to some extent. But the main plot they have, right? There is a choice that has to be made. There's the light and there's the dark. I'd say 90% of the movie doesn't even really pay attention. They're somewhat neutral to it. They don't care one way or another. They're probably leaning one way or the other, but they don't focus on it. But you have the Jedi and you have the Sith. The Jedi who have followed the path of the light side using the Force, and the Sith who have followed the path of the dark side. So last night I get asked a question that I don't know the answer to. The question is, Dad, what do the different lightsaber colors mean? Does anybody know what all the different lightsaber colors mean? Only one or two? Well, I did. Aaron knows, and a couple in the back. Mason, I'm sure, has it down. I did the only thing I knew to do. I texted Uncle Sean. Uncle Sean, what do the different color lightsabers mean? And he sent me a link to explain it all to me. The only one I didn't know was the purple lightsaber. The only one that I've seen with a purple lightsaber, I've not seen episode 7 yet. The only one I've seen with a purple lightsaber is Mace Windu, Samuel L. Jackson, okay? He's got a purple one. He's the only one I've seen with a purple lightsaber. And I didn't realize what it meant, but from what Uncle Sean sends me, if you have a purple lightsaber, it means you were a Sith on the dark side for a period, and now you are a Jedi. You've come over to the light side. So you've learned something new. We're going to get into the Bible, too. You'll learn more new, but this is what you've learned this morning. A purple lightsaber, you once were walking the path of darkness, and now you've chosen to follow the light. This morning, I've got great news. We are going to be handing out purple lightsabers this morning. I don't literally have them. You have to build them yourselves. It takes years of training. But you too can be walking on the path of the dark, and there is hope for you to come to the light. It's an excellent example. If any of us had lightsabers in here, without a shadow of a doubt, we'd have a purple one. Because this story in Scripture is a story of individuals, people, you and me, who were once following our own path and our own life, and now have chosen and decided to follow Christ. The Bible lays out a clear understanding of these two paths, and we find it here in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. And we're going to hear about two paths, two choices, two directions in which we can follow. If you'll read with me in Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 10 and read through verse 19. It says, "Listen, my son, accept my words, and you will live many years. I'm teaching you the way of wisdom. I am guiding you on straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Don't let go. Guard it, for it is your life. Don't set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't proceed in the way of evil ones. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass by, for they can't sleep unless they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble. This morning in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon gives us two paths to choose from, the path of righteous and the path of the wicked. And there's a choice here that we have. Which path will we follow? You know, the first thing we can glean from this passage, the first understanding we have as we're seeking wisdom, is to find this truth out. Wisdom is a choice. If you have your bulletin or taking notes, that's your first blank. Wisdom is a choice. We like to think that maybe some people are born wise. Some people are just have this natural inclination to make good and wise decisions. That some people are just naturally born with this wisdom about them. But that's not what we find in Scripture. What we find is wisdom is a choice. Now, there are some of you who were born smart and the rest of us who were not. And we understand that. Some of you are just intellectually smart, well-rounded individuals. But for the rest of us, we were born dumb, okay? We're just born like we are. Wisdom is different from smarts. Wisdom is different from intellect. Wisdom is not something that we are naturally inclined to do. It is a choice that we make. We choose wisdom. We choose to follow in the path of righteousness. We choose to make the decision to know who God is and follow Him fully. We see this choice echoed in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10, when there's this begging, "Listen, my son, accept my words." Solomon is writing here saying, please hear me and do what I'm telling you. Make a choice. Make a decision. He could have very well said, for those of you who are already wise, here's some good application. But he doesn't. He says, choose righteousness. Choose wisdom. And then he gives them another choice down in verses 14 and 15. He says, don't set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't make that choice. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. There's this begging and this pleading for the readers of Proverbs to choose wisdom, to choose to do what is right. Now, I have to talk to people about temptation. How do you avoid temptation? And there are several different things we can do to help us in times of temptation. We realize temptation will come. There's not a single person in here who does not experience temptation. Every single one of us is tempted by something. But the first step in not giving in to temptation is the easiest and the hardest. The first step to not giving in to temptation is just this. Don't do it. Okay? That's the first step. Just say no. Remember the slogan? Just decide you're not going to give in. Now, that doesn't mean the temptation will go away. As a matter of fact, there are more steps because the temptation will continue to attack and will continue to try to seize you. We see in the Old Testament times when Joseph was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife grabs him and begs him to have an affair with her. Right? The temptation comes, Joseph just says no and gets away. But then the temptation seizes him, it grabs him, and it says he runs and he flees. Over and over again, temptation comes down to a choice and a decision. Are we going to choose to get as far away from the temptation as we can? If you're tempted to go down the path of the wicked, if there is something that is leading you, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's some emotion, maybe it's a financial drive, whatever it may be, the first step is simply make the choice to remove yourself from the temptation. Wisdom is a choice. Wisdom is something that we are not naturally inclined to do. It is something we decide to do. Oh, it's not an easy choice. Nowhere in this passage does it say that the path of righteousness is smooth. Nowhere does it say that it's easy. Nowhere does it say that we'll have a wonderful time walking on this path. As a matter of fact, elsewhere in Scripture, we find that the path is narrow. we find that it's windy and twisty, that there's probably roots sticking up that we'll trip over. There's probably obstacles to climb. It's a difficult path, but it's a path we have a choice to follow. We must make the choice. We must consciously decide today that we will choose wisdom and we will choose God's way. So the question then is, if we decide we're going to follow the path of righteousness, let's make the choice all together today. We're going to follow down the right way and avoid the wicked way. The next question we come is how do I do that? How in the world do I move off of the path I'm on and move to the path that I want to be? For all I know, I've gone so far off path, I can't even see the other path. And there's wonderful news when we decide to choose wisdom, and that is you have been given specific instructions. You have instructions. There is a way that we are to accomplish this wisdom God has called us to. Now, don't you hate it when you're opening something up for your kids or your grandkids and they open it up on Christmas or their birthday and it's a wonderful, exciting present, and then you see those words that every parent and grandparent hates, right? Three words, some assembly required. You've seen those before? Yeah, I hate those words. As a matter of fact, I think it should be illegal to send toys that are not already assembled. And so if I can get that passed, if a presidential candidate stands up and says that's the ticket he's running on, he'll get my vote, okay? Some assembly required is a nightmare. Why? Because you open it up and there's 1,000 pieces. Like literally, it says 20 pieces. It's not. It's 1,000, right? And they're all scattered over the place and you look for the instructions. This will tell me how to put it together. Some instructions are really good. You flip them over and it's step 1 through step like 50 and it's very detailed and you can get it every once in a while. No, not every once in a while. Most of the time, you get the instructions and you open them up and there's 2 instructions. Step 1, get the pieces out. Step 2, put it together. Right? That's usually what the instructions look like. And I hate those. You're trying to fit things in. You know how many toys I've broken before they ever got to play with because I'm trying to put it together? You know, the instructions are frustrating. You read the instructions and they're hard, they're unclear, they're not specific, and you struggle. But there's wonderful news when it comes to the life of following Christ, is we have very detailed instructions. We have instructions that help us wherever we're at in life. As a matter of fact, that's what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 4. He says, hold on to your instructions. Don't let go. Guard it, for it is your life. So what is your instruction? If you're looking for wisdom to make wise decisions and you're trying to follow the path of righteousness, where is your manual? Well, it's fairly obviously sitting in front of us. The Word of God is a very detailed how to live your life manual. And it's not specific enough to look and say, okay, step 1, go talk to this person who you need to ask forgiveness of. Step 2, go talk to your boss about this situation. Step 3, avoid these situations. Instead, it gives us very specific instructions simply on how to leave the path of wickedness and start on the path of righteousness. 66 books in the Bible. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, and all of them scream the same thing. Not here's all the steps that your life will need to take, but here's the one step, the next step, and that is to turn your life over and trust Jesus Christ to lead you. It's not a step that says, here's what your path looks like. It's more like a flashlight. Here's the light. Take the next step. Here's the next direction to go. When you start to read the instructions in the Word of God and you start asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? He doesn't always show us a 10-year plan or even a 5-year plan or even a 5-day plan. Often He says, step 1, do this. Trust my leading and trust my guidance. When I tell you that the best way to live is to live a faithful life within the context of a husband and wife marriage, then that's what we do. When I tell you that the best thing for your life is for you to pour in and experience a relationship with me and put aside finances and financial struggle and worry and stop being so greedy, that's what I want you to do. When I say what I need more than anything is for you to tell other people how they can know Jesus Christ, even if it's uncomfortable and hard, that's the step I will do. It's not this grand, huge plan of every detail of your life. Instead, it's an instruction manual that says, take the next step. The very first step of instructions that we have in Scripture. Even if you read in Genesis or Revelation, anywhere in between, the very first step is to recognize that we're on the wicked path. That on our own, we're born walking down the wrong direction. Every single one of us has chosen, from the time we were breathing our first breath, to walk a path apart from God. The first step is simply to make the choice to recognize that Jesus Christ is calling us to a better life, that He can forgive us for all of the mistakes we've made, and that if we will trust Him, He will lead us in the right direction. We understand that we have a very specific set of instructions, and it starts with simply making the choice to allow Jesus Christ to lead us instead of ourselves. And finally, let me tell you, this is not an easy task to make. This is not something that we take lightly. This is, simply put, a matter of life and death. This isn't as if we just glance it through and say, I'll get to it at some point. I'll continue down this path for now, and eventually I'll jump over to the other one. One day, maybe I'll turn my life around and I'll start doing things. Or maybe if I ever do turn my life around, I'll embrace this Jesus guy and we'll figure it out then. No, this is an urgent matter of life and death. This is something that God is calling us to, not sometime down in the future, but today. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, we see that Moses is talking to the people about following the right path. We see as he's calling the Israelites to live holy and righteous lives. He's asking and begging and pleading them to serve the one true God and not the false gods that they worship when they were in Egypt or the false gods that they'll encounter in the new promised land. And in verse 19, he gives them a choice. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And here's his begging. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. This path that we're looking at is not just a path of wickedness and righteousness. It's a path of death and life. And here the people are being asked, they're begging, they're pleading. He's begging them, choose life. I find it interesting that the first part of this verse in Deuteronomy 30:19 is an oath or a swear or a promise. You know in Scripture where it says, do not take the Lord's name in vain? Be careful making promises in the name of God because they're pretty binding and it's a pretty serious thing. You don't just flippantly say, I swear to God this or this or that. This is a very serious, serious oath. We know that oaths are also in the Old Testament very clearly stated, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you say something, you better mean it. This is serious when an oath is used. And here is a swear, an oath. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today. This is an oath from heaven. This is, to put it in modern terms, a very serious time where he is saying, I swear to the God above that you have a choice to make. There is death and there is life. Following the path in Proverbs chapter 4 of wickedness may not lead to your physical death today or tomorrow, although often it does. Following the path of wickedness does not always lead us to immediate poor consequences, but following the path of wickedness always leads us further from the life that God created us for. And ultimately, the end of that road leads to an eternal death and an eternal separation from God. Ultimately, the path of wickedness takes us away from what God's created us to be. The path of righteousness is a path that leads to life. We find in Proverbs chapter 4, he says, these instructions are your life. This word of God is what gives you eternal life. Boy, it's a hard road. It's frustrating because the path of wickedness, the dark side, is appealing. In the New Testament, we see it's described as being wide, it's comfortable, it's easy, it's probably flat oftentimes, and it gives us an immediate fix. Immediately, our troubles are put aside because we're following this path of wickedness. But it's a trap. at the end, and even on the journey, it is slowly but certainly killing us. This path this morning is a path of life and death. These two paths are set before us, and it is eternally important that we choose, make the decision to follow the ways of wisdom, and that is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We do that by saying, everything I've done up to this point, I've done making my own decisions. It's in my own path, in my own way, and I need forgiveness. I've done it wrong. I've sinned, and I've hurt the very God who created me. And I've done it in such a way that I'm completely separated from Him. I need forgiveness for hurting my Creator and for sinning against Him. And I choose now to follow wherever He leads. I make the decision, not that I know where the path leads, but to take the next step. As we sit here this morning, if we feel as we're reading this and we're hearing this, that we know we're following that path of wickedness, this morning is the time to choose life. But there's a calling for many of you who are sitting out here saying, I'm very thankful that Jesus Christ has saved me from the path of wickedness. I trip and I stumble and sometimes I veer, but He calls me to this path of righteousness. I'm very thankful that you feel that way, but there's a calling for you as well, because you have friends and family members who are choosing death even as we speak. Right now, they're walking that path that leads to destruction. It's not just a path of wickedness that may hurt them here on earth and has these consequences here on earth. This is a path that has eternal consequences. And you and I allow them to continue down that path without yelling and screaming and shouting and begging and pleading and saying, there's a better way. God has provided a path that leads to life. We have a calling not just to make sure we're on the right path, but to make sure anybody we see, anybody we come in contact with, and certainly anybody we love knows how they can make that decision to be on the path with us. This morning, maybe you need to go and call someone as soon as church is done and say, we need to go out to lunch. Or I just need to talk to you on the phone. I need to let you know that I have to ask your forgiveness for not sharing with this earlier. But I love you too much to see you not know about Jesus Christ and His salvation. This morning, we need to first and foremost ask ourselves what path we're on, which direction we're headed. And secondly, Lord, who is it in my life that I need to invite to follow You? Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we come before You and we understand that this is no small calling. Lord, You have called us to a path that is difficult, that is narrow, Lord, that we will stumble on and we will fall, but that ultimately leads to us knowing You in a real personal way. It leads to life. Lord, this morning I pray for those in here right now who are examining their own hearts and examining their own lives, and they're understanding that they're not on Your path. Lord, they're walking down a path that seems easy, that seems right. Or maybe, Lord, to them it doesn't even seem right, but it's just what they're comfortable with, they've always done. Maybe, Lord, they never even knew there was a better way. Lord, let them see this morning that by asking forgiveness for running from You, by simply saying, Lord, my way led to sin and pain and hurt, Lord, help them to see that You're calling them to follow Your lordship and Your leading. Lord, we pray that You would call them just to take that first step to walk down the path of righteousness. Lord, we know there are individuals in this very room. There are also individuals scattered around this community, scattered around this country, and even all over the world that we know of that we have never shared this story of two paths, that we've never explained the way of salvation. Lord, help us to see the importance of knowing You and sharing You with others. Lord, thank You for providing us a way of salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we know when we trust Him that He is able to forgive us, that He is able to lead us, and He is the only way that we are able to know You. Lord, pray that You would lead us on Your path this morning. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.